This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. Meredith Kane is here today. Dan Menigan is also here. Hey, we just got off the line with Gary Barnett, Colorado color commentator. Former head coach, was at Northwestern as well.
Strong comments.
Yeah.
Real strong.
Jeff, I got to be honest with you. This Shedeur Sanders, to me, is probably one of the biggest question marks I think I've ever talked about. I mean, 3 weeks ago, you'd look online and like all these mock drafts, for whatever they're worth, and you know, it's a mock draft, right? You're guessing. But
sure.
How many people had him pick number two by the Browns?
Well, early on, more than a few.
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah, I would go in there and I go, it looks like Shedeur Sanders. Maybe this is going to be, maybe these guys are right. I don't know. And then all of a sudden you get to draft day, and now all of a sudden he is, you know, way down there.
The prognosticators, I heard like maybe one person say that they thought he might be able to drop, that he might drop to the third round. You know, when somebody said they might drop to the second round, it was like, wow, really? And he went in the fifth. I mean, it's stunning what happened to him, only based on what everybody thought going in. And let me throw a bone to the media here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time when media reports stuff, you know, like, hey, this guy he's going late in the first round. He's going wherever. He could drop to the second. He's going to go in the second round, whatever. They're not making that up. They're getting it from somebody. So the fact that the guy dropped to the fifth, man, was just, I think, stunning. I really do. And I think Gary Barnett's comments, especially at the end there, were really interesting. If he finds some humility, he has the tools to get it done.
But then he also, Gary early on, said this is what college football is now. I mean, let's face it.
Kids running the show.
Yeah.
There are guys, and you see it all the time. And I guess it's okay. You know, I guess it's okay. There's a young guy who did a really nice job for the University of Akron basketball team this year, James Okonkwo.
Okay.
And this is just talking about players today.
Mm-hmm.
James just transferred out of Akron and is transferring to Utah. It's his fourth college. West Virginia, North Carolina, Akron, Utah. That happens now in college sports. And that's exactly what Gary Barnett was talking about. Nothing against any program. That's just the way things happen now.
Right.
And, you know, you have Shedeur with two schools. And you have Shedeur playing for nobody but his dad as his head coach in college. And, you know, Dion is nothing.
But he did give Pat Shurmur a lot of credit.
Well, and that's
Gary Barnett did, yeah.
That's good, but you have a guy who played for his dad as his head coach, and he probably would have been the starting quarterback regardless. Okay, let's be honest about that.
Right.
But he didn't have to win the job at Jackson State. and he didn't have to win the job at Colorado. If you recall, when Deion went there, Deion said, and I'm bringing my starting quarterback with me. Shadur is our starting quarterback.
Yeah, he told all those kids to enter the portal.
Get out of there. Yeah. I mean, so Shadur better, and I can't think that he would show up any other way, but I don't know him. So, but know the situation. You went from possibly being the second quarterback taken in the draft. I mean, some early on had him as the number one pick, Andy. Going in the fifth round. If you show up with any sense of entitlement, you're gonna get cut. You're gonna get cut.
Okay, so I would say that in most cases, Jeff. I would say that for any fifth round pick.
Exactly.
That you're saying that. But then as I said to you in the break, I go, well, it's still a bit, and I keep saying to myself, this is still a business. Where is he in jersey sales? And you quickly knew the answer.
He's third right now. But Andy, the NFL prints money. And I know jersey sales is a nice little thing. Okay, so you sell some shirts with his name on it. That's not enough to keep a guy around if he comes in and he's a complete nightmare. That's not enough to keep a guy around. Not in the NFL.
Well, if they would have drafted him higher, I would have said there's probably a feeling that he directly impacts ticket sales. But because they waited till the fifth round to draft him, I don't know that that same impact is there. And I don't know if you, I mean, when Johnny Manziel came to town, I took a lot of heat over this, but I just said, I didn't say he was a good football player. I didn't say he was a bad football player. I said he made the Browns relevant because people would be talking about the Browns and because I knew they would. We all knew that.
I don't think Shadur Sanders makes the Browns relevant. He's a fifth round pick and he was a good college quarterback at not a premier football program.
But we're also he made them into a almost premier football program, though, didn't he?
They put them on the map. They're not a premier football program. They're an okay football program.
Well, his dad being there puts them on the map, too. That team, like, you're going to tell me there isn't a kid in high school that doesn't say they want to go play at Colorado, go play for Deion Sanders? You know, just had the number two player in the draft selected for him. He's Deion Sanders. They know him from commercials. They know him from all over the place. And now all of a sudden you're a high school kid who's a standout that wants to have the opportunity to go play. I mean, no matter what you say, Deion upped the value of that program by millions, if not more. And so a premier is relative to what does that mean? Do people know who the Colorado Buffaloes are now that didn't before? Yes, they do. They do. And because of Deion and because of Shadur and because of Travis. So, I mean, Colorado's not sitting at the bottom of the big schools anymore.
And they're also not sitting at the top. Not anywhere close.
They're there. And by the way, you're going to tell me you don't want to pick them up for a television game?
Not now. They don't have Travis Hunter and they don't have Shadur Sanders.
They still have Deion, and that's going to be a reason why networks are still going to want to pick up Colorado. If he stays, I mean, who knows how long he's going to stay there now? That's another question. But I see the reality that you're trying to see, and I get it, and I understand that, but they're still relative because of the Sanders name. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, if he comes in and he's, you know what, here, he's not going to last.
So here's my dilemma. I mean, we're talking about a guy that, you know, again, early on, you said even number one, number two, number three, whatever.
Well, that was some of the rumbling. Yeah.
That ends up being a fifth rounder. Now we sit here and we talk about, you know what, Shadur Sanders, if he has a good camp, he's got a chance to be the starter here next year.
Well, that's because we don't have a quarterback.
But I mean, you're talking about both sides here, Jeff. I mean, on one hand, we're sitting here arguing.
Purdy was the last guy drafted. He went to camp, and Kyle Shanahan looks and says, you know who our best quarterback is? It's him. It's not Trey Lance.
Yeah, but
it's him. And so if Dylan Gabriel comes in and does the same thing, Andy, he's the guy. If Shadur Sanders does the same thing, he's the guy. And now, can they do that? The one thing we know about Dylan Gabriel here, we know several things. Number one, the Browns like the total package better than Shadur Sanders. So... I just think it's minuscule, but there's a slight edge there. The other thing is this. From all accounts, that dude is nothing but prepared. He is prepared. and take a look at his track record in college. It's phenomenal. He has phenomenal stats, and he won some games. He is going to be the initial challenge for Shedeur Sanders. And if they get into rookie camp next week and Dylan Gabriel looks like pretty good quarterback and Shedeur doesn't, well, then you can just pencil Shedeur in as number four.
I understand your point on Brock Purdy, but I don't think it's pertinent here to Shedeur Sanders. No one was saying Brock Purdy was going to be a top pick in the draft, and no one across the country really cared about what Iowa State football. I mean, seriously, you would talk about
Iowa State's as big, if not bigger, than Colorado.
No way. There's no way, Jeff. I'll go back and look at the ratings.
Ask Carmen.
Okay, there you go. Exactly. So now I'm even more right that, you know, if you're looking at television ratings,
they're very comparable programs.
But they're not television ratings-wise.
Ratings doesn't win a football game.
No, but it gives you the value of understanding who a person is. No one who was crying for Brock Purdy. Nobody. Who was crying for Shedeur Sanders? A lot of people. People want to see.
What do you mean crying for?
Who was saying? Oh, did anyone go out and say, not once did I hear on this station, oh my God, the Browns have to draft Brock Purdy, whatever it takes to get him. I don't care, trade anybody. The Brock Purdy is not Shedeur Sanders.
You know, Shedeur Sanders is a hell of a lot better, as it turns out.
You were in two different worlds here, Jeff. The world I'm telling you about is the one where Shedeur Sanders was someone who was coveted, that player that people wanted out of college.
You're talking about perception. I'm talking about reality. Reality is Brock Purdy's become a pretty damn good quarterback, and Shedeur might become one.
But what was Brock Purdy in college? That's
pretty
what I'm saying.
Pretty damn good.
So you can only compare Shedeur Sanders to the point that he's at in his career, and you can do that against Brock Purdy. You can't project. You can project, but you don't have the numbers yet for what Purdy's done in the NFL compared to what Sanders has done, because he hasn't done anything yet.
Well, that's the point. He has to come in and win the job. That's what my initial point was. Purdy went into camp and beat out the guy that they traded up for. They traded up to get Trey Lance. They gave up number one picks to get Trey Lance at number three, and Brock Purdy beat him out. And Shedeur Sanders has the exact same chance here. The exact same chance. But if he doesn't do it, then he's not going to stick around. I mean, are they going to keep four quarterbacks all year? Yeah, maybe.
But if
he comes in and he's not a good guy and he's a pain in the you know what, they're not going to keep him around.
If Brock Purdy failed, Jeff, no one would have cared.
Well, no. If Shedeur Sanders fails, nobody cares here. He was a fifth-round pick.
People will still care if he fails.
Okay, fine.
That's perception
instead of reality.
Yeah, I understand that. But, I mean, if you don't learn from your past on what things are, I mean, does Jimmy hasn't want to sit here and say, oh, man, we did it again. We brought in a circus again.
Pick, Andy. It doesn't matter. If the kid comes in, and as Gary Barnett said, brings in a humility and a work ethic because he said he certainly has the talent. Great. Come on in and win that job. Man, Andy, I'm pulling for the kid. I hope he comes in and kicks butt. You know why? Because my team needs a quarterback. And I don't give a hoot which one of the three guys it is. If it's Flacco, there's a major problem. If Flacco's your starting quarterback, big problem. Nothing against Joe. It's just that a 40-year-old...
God forbid he does what he did when he was here last time.
A 40-year-old beats out Pickett, Gabriel, and Sanders. Oh, boy. So who are we taking in 2026? And that's okay, because you have the ammo to do that.
But you're assuming they're going to lose then, if you're concerned about who the quarterback is for next year.
No, I'm not.
I mean, what because if Flacco comes in here and does what he did last time, and the team is successful?
Well, he didn't in Indy. He didn't with the Jets.
Man,
he didn't with Denver. He didn't with the Jets, and he didn't with Indy. He's been with four teams since he left Baltimore, and he played well one time.
But there was a sense
was
of him
here.
Being comfortable here in Cleveland
well,
that
great.
He was able to bring
that's
back
great.
Something that he wasn't
you
able to do before.
You already said Pickett's going to be the starter. I agree.
I think Pickett is going to be the starter. Yeah.
I agree. If Flacco's the starter, you've got a problem.
We'll see. We'll see how this all plays out. I mean, it is going to make for a lot of fodder here over the next couple of months.
Oh, is it ever?
So.
Is it ever?
I do want to go back and talk a little bit more about what Mary Kay had to say and what Gary Barnett had to say. We're going to play some of those cuts when we come back. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, let's get back to the Browns here in a little bit. We'll take a break for a second. I do want to talk about the Guardians, and then Mike Florio is going to join us at 1 o'clock, so we'll do both those things. So, Jeff, over the last couple of days, as much as the Cavaliers have been able to blow teams out on the basketball floor, it's been the opposite for the Guardians, who have struggled over the last couple of days here.
Yes.
Your thoughts on what's going on with the Guardians.
They lose 11-1 yesterday. They've allowed 31 runs in a three-game losing streak. And, okay, you have that. Doug Nikhazy pitched the first game there, and you know he came up and was getting a chance, and I'm sure he'll be better. Logan Allen pitched one of those games. Okay, that might be a little concerning. Gavin Williams pitched last night. Okay, a little concerning. You want the starting pitching on this team to be one of the key things, because you know the offense is going to struggle a little bit. And when you allow 31 runs in three games with this offense, you're in trouble. And that's okay. It's only three games. You can bounce back. But there are just little signs that point to, is that a problem? And I think the starting pitching is a slight problem, because I don't think you have enough guys who are, yep, you got that locked up. And I'd say Gavin Williams is one of them, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
And he had trouble last night. You're going to have trouble. That's going to happen from time to time. I'm not concerned about Gavin Williams. I'm not concerned about Tanner Bibee. Even though Tanner's had a couple of starts this year that weren't typical Tanner, that's okay. That's going to happen. Everybody else in the rotation, I'm a little concerned about. Luis Ortiz has had a couple of moments that were really good, a couple that weren't. Nikhazy gets another chance, I'm sure. Logan Allen, keep going. Ben Lively seems solid, if not, a little unspectacular. But that's okay. Give your team a chance to win the ballgame. That, to me, is the entire job of the starting pitcher. And the last three games, that hasn't happened.
The bullpen yesterday obviously has to be concerning, too. I mean, yesterday you gave up, seven runs out of the bullpen. You're right. I think the hard part was I was getting excited last week when they had a half-game lead in the Central. Now they're 2.5
back. Yeah,
I know it's early in the season, and you're still trying to figure out how this is all going to play out. Ramirez ends up getting moved back from the two-hole to the three-hole.
I like it.
Yeah, Nolan Jones is hitting .179, so that might
not be
going.
But he's hitting a little better.
Yeah. And then the other thing, too, is that, how good is Boston going to be at the end of the year? The Yankees are going to be good, so you can kind of live with that. But, you look back over the last couple of days and you kind of find yourself saying, I wonder where this thing's going. I mean, they still are over .500, so, there's a lot of positive things going on here, but by the same token, I think it's scary when you give up 24 runs in the last two games. And I think that's where the concern is. Plus, they gave up 17 hits yesterday. Ouch.
Yeah, that's an issue.
I don't know. What's fixable? What's correctable? And what are you in for on the long haul?
One thing I thought was interesting, and I get it completely in the short term, Joey Cantillo was sent down to AAA because Joey had just bailed him out on the in the game against Boston. He came in and pitched and went deep. He threw 55 pitches. So he was going to be unavailable. And, the bullpen's been used a lot. They needed an arm yesterday, so they brought one up. I wonder, Cantillo's been really good in relief. Okay, has he found his niche? Or is he a starter in waiting? And my hope is he's a starter in waiting. Stephen Vogt had some comments about it. And he said, never fun to send someone like Joey out, been throwing the ball really well. It's just where we're at. Joey understood, didn't like it, understood, said, I'll stay ready. And then Stephen added, haven't closed the book on Joey being a starter again at any point.
Hmm.
But for where we are right now in the season, Joey's really valuable in the role that he's been playing for us. You know what?
Are you stretching him out then?
Well, it doesn't sound like it. But to me, what's more valuable? A guy who is going to go out every fifth day and give your team a chance to win, or a guy you bring in from the bullpen to throw an inning or two? To me, it's a guy who goes out and gives you a chance to win every fifth day, if Cantillo can do that. And so I'm still locked into the idea that this guy's a starter, and that if you sent him down, and it doesn't sound like this is the plan. It sounds like he threw 55 pitches on Sunday. That's the end of the story. We needed an arm, and Joey will be back here quick. And Vogt said that. You know, it's not going to be long till he's back. And I'm sure as soon as he's able to come back, they're going to bring him back. He was good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why would you send out a guy who was pitching well? You shouldn't do that. But if you continue to have some issues with some of your starters, I mean, if Nick Casey gets another start and doesn't go well, you're looking for a fifth starter. Why not Cantillo? I'd make it Cantillo and see if you have something there. And I mean something not just like short term, but okay, here's an arm for our rotation. Done.
The other question I come into that I kind of question here too is, you know, you're giving up big runs, but you can't hide behind the offense kind of stalling out here too. I mean, you're looking at what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the last games they've had four runs once. Otherwise, it's less than four. And 1, 2, 3, twice, three times once they came up. Well, three out of the last couple of games there. So, I mean, they're not putting up heavy runs. You're not getting five run performances. You're getting maybe 5, 6. A little bit there, and they were on the swing there when they played Pittsburgh. Like, the offense was moving, but ever since then, it's kind of stumbled out a little bit. Not enough to give you enough runs to win games other than Boston 5-4.
Well, and we know why, right? Because the offense isn't good. It's that simple. They don't have a plethora of big-time hitters right now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll find some. Maybe there are some guys developing. Travis Bazzana. On the way, baby. Let's find out.
Is he?
Well, at some point.
It's going to be a while, though, right?
Yeah, well, I would think so. But, you know, when he's ready, hopefully he's a bat that changes the dynamic of things a little bit.
Hmm. I Dan, more concerned about the offense or the defense for the Guardians right now?
The offense. I mean, the offense has continued to be a concern since, I don't know, when did Moses Cleaveland get here?
He was in the 1700s.
Except for that brief 90s area.
Little did he know he spelled his own name wrong.
Yeah. So. That brief 90s area, that was the hiccup in between. That's just kind of how this team is going to go. It's going to be peaks and valleys, and the questions will always be, can the catchers give you something? Can shortstop give you something? Can center field give you something? Because you know the top three guys in the order are going to look good. Carlos Santana has struggled a little bit. Always struggles in April. It's kind of the way it goes. It'll, man's a metronome. We'll see what it looks like from there. And Manzardo's hitting the cover off the ball. Keep letting him hit. Just keep letting him hit. But the question is always going to be the offense.
Manzardo's like, hitting 212.
Yeah, but at least when he hits it, it goes far, which is something we can't say about a lot.
When he does hit, it is exciting.
I like him, but I'd like to see him hit it a little more frequently. He had that bad stretch that killed his average, and he's on the way back up. So I just keep giving that kid at bats. For instance, Carlos has 100 at-bats and Manzardo has 15 fewer. Can we flip that, please? I mean, yeah. I leave him in the lineup. Just play him.
Question for the two of you that I was kind of kicking around.
Mm-hmm.
We're a month into the season. Have we learned anything about this ball club?
Yeah. We learned that last year, somehow they surprised us and did some really good things and had a really competitive team. And then we thought, all right, wait a minute. What did they do to this team to make it better in the offseason? And I don't know that we saw a lot that we thought made them better, but I know I trusted them to think that they're going to put a competitive team on the field. They've done that. I don't know that they're better than last year, though.
Didn't we ask that same question a year ago, and then all of a sudden they surprised us?
What I don't think their offense is as good, and I don't think their pitching is as good. We'll see if Shane Bieber comes back and is able to be close to what he was. That will help. And I think they've got to find another starter. And I mean, they have some arms in AAA, but whenever you call up an arm from AAA, what are you doing? You're keeping your fingers crossed, right?
I don't, the way I kind of view things with this team right now is I feel like they're a 500 team, and are they going to be able to? Like, my fear is moments like now. You've dropped three in a row. You lost the game to a team that's also in the AL Central, where you've been playing really well against. I mean, you took care of Chicago and Detroit. I mean, you know, look, these are teams that you're gonna they're double wins. You know, when you're able to get those. Kansas City's been good. What are they 4-2 against Kansas City? And when I'm talking about Detroit coming up down the road, not exactly right now. And I worry about moments in a season like right now. Like, you can't, how far can you skid? How long can you go on a losing streak? Because that's, you're going to spend the rest of the year trying to make it up, and it gets harder when you lose to Minnesota, you know, when you lose to teams in the AL Central to try to dig your way back up the mountain to try to get back to the top. That's like last year, they were able to take care of business when it came down to the Central, right? So if you look at this valley instead of a peak, you've lost two to Boston, I've lost one to Minnesota. What's going to happen in these next three games? And again, you just want to get in there, like in a four-game series here, you want to split. You just need to split, even if you're at home. That's all. So I think that's how you're able to kind of, I don't know, project what's going to happen in the rest of the year. We're in a valley right now, and how are they going to get out of it? And we'll see. I mean, Bybee's on the hill tonight, so we'll have a better understanding.
Come on, Tanner.
So so the concern level is at a what then for both of you guys?
Zero.
Too early to be concerned at all?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm like a one. It's April, and you've done what you needed to do in April, which is tread water. I mean, that's, you can't, again, to use the old baseball adage that everyone has used forever, you can't make the playoffs in April, but you sure as heck can lose a shot to make the playoffs in April. And they haven't lost their shot.
Any concern that the Tigers are playing decent baseball? I don't see anybody running away with this division. But if there's a team that could get hot and do it, maybe it's Detroit, could get out to a big lead.
If they fix Torkelson, look out.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that lineup gets a lot some
pitching,
longer.
And they have some pitching, too. And
Riley Green is legit, and Kerry Carpenter is legit on top of it. That was the big question, is if Torkelson was a flop, then they were in rough shape. And it seems like second half Torkelson is legit, and that's the guy you're watching right now.
I don't know. Is 18-11 a projector of what the rest of the season is going to look like, where the Guardians are going to sit at, you know, 15-13-500, right? You know, 621 versus 536. So we'll see how it plays out. We'll see how it plays out. All right, I want to come back. We're going to talk to Mike Florio a little bit later in the show. We're going to get back into the Browns. Also, I don't know, it might sound like old man radio when we come back, but something that we've noticed over the last couple of years that might be a little aggravating to some of you out on the road. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Of course you want to. You want to go back
and
check out everything.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
All right, I got to ask you a question because this came up on our conference call this morning.
Yeah, you know, because you were cussing at people.
I wasn't cussing.
Dan, was he cussing?
I don't know.
I don't remember actually cussing. I just remember being annoyed.
I mean, sometimes the language gets a little...
spicy?
Yeah. Colorful?
Spicy.
All right, well, if that's the way you want to lay it down, that's fine. You can hop in on this too if you think if I'm nuts. 216-474-0092, 216-474-0092. So we're driving in today, and I just made this line, and I'm not trying to be guy stands on lawn shouting at clouds, okay? But is it me or anyone who's been here for more than 10 years, are the drivers worse in Northeast Ohio than they've been ever before? Like, I can't get over how, like, overly, stupidly aggressive some of the drivers have been, especially on the freeway.
That sums that up real well, by the way. That's a great description of it.
Overly
aggressive.
Overly aggressive. Yeah. It's almost like I remember driving in other cities when
they're
I was
Ricky
younger.
Bobby. I think they're Ricky Bobby.
I don't know why, and I don't. Is it me, or am I getting older? I mean, I hate to be that guy, but maybe that's what it is. I just noticed that, like, people drive like such jerks around here now that it says I don't remember ever saying that 10 years ago. So maybe it is me. Maybe it's the age thing. But I mean, like, I don't know, or maybe that I want to play by the rules that says if you're in the passing lane, you should be there to pass. and then get back into a driving lane.
Or maybe you're just more interested in getting to work safely than getting to work quickly.
I always find myself on the freeway behind the person that's driving 40, which I think is even more dangerous sometimes than driving like way over the speed limit.
Yeah, and I didn't appreciate you flipping me off.
Well, you earned every second of that. I mean, 35 is great on the regular. And by the way, like, I see people flying through neighborhoods more now than I've ever seen that either before, too. Is it me, or have things changed a little bit? Jeff Phelps, go first.
Seems like things have changed a little bit. I see a lot of aggressive driving. At least one time every day on the way into work, somebody goes flying by on the highway. It's like, man, quit weaving in and out of traffic. You're not doing yourself any good.
Yeah, I don't get the whole weave thing either. I mean, it's like somebody woke up this morning and said, oh, I'm an Indy. Look at this.
Talladega, baby. Here we go.
Oh, it's time for the 480. I don't know what. Open. 480, 500.
I'm at Bristol. Watch this move.
This is so cool. And then all of a sudden, when it's snowy or icy outside, how many times do you see those in the ditches? I don't love it. No, I don't love it. I find it ironic that a lot of times you'll see SUVs and trucks in the middle of a freeway when it's snowing a little bit and they haven't been iced over. And I'm like, you thought you were invincible, didn't you? And the next thing you know, your car's in the middle of the thing. Dan, am I an old man? Am I shouting at clouds right now? Tell me.
I mean, if we're being, you know, spiteful with a hint of Schadenfreude and everything that we're doing, my personal favorite is the guy who speeds past you and then you go up about a mile and you see the flashing lights in the car.
That's awesome.
That's the one where I always
beep and wave at those guys.
And especially the horse's rear end that likes to flash their brights at you to get out of their way so that they can do 104. Those are the ones that I enjoy greatly.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you see him sitting there with the cop next to him asking for name, license, and registration.
It is true. Correct me if I'm wrong. If you're in the left lane to pass traffic, you don't have to be going like 95 to pass traffic. You're allowed to pass traffic in the left lane at like 70.
So the interesting thing is that law.
And then get back out of the way.
Oh, here we go.
Like only in the state of Ohio.
What?
Is the left lane pass law? Yeah, that's it.
That's only an Ohio thing?
If not only, I know there are very few states with it that say that the left lane is for passing. Like Ohio, that's a law. Everywhere else, it's kind of like, yeah, pass where you want. And I wonder if maybe...
And then you're not supposed to pass in the right-hand lane either. You're not supposed to pass on the right.
And that's an Ohio-only thing.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I never knew that.
Yeah, I wonder how many times we're dealing with, like, we've driven this one way this much, and we've had so many transplants kind of find their way in. I wonder if that maybe has something to do with it, too.
I don't know. I just think people are just driving... just way more aggressive than they used to. And now, by the way, 77's got what? There's some closure there. If you're trying to get, northbound, and then you got to go southbound to get northbound. I was just reading about it yesterday to try to get up 77 off 480. And you're like, oh, can we have more? I just, everywhere I feel like I'm going right now, too, it seems like it's construction season.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere.
Construction season is going right now.
All right. So do we determine what this actually is then? Is it an age thing or is it a...
No, I think some of it is a level of aggression has taken over in driving as well. I don't think it's totally just you...
Keep this in mind, though.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as winter ends...
And people want to get moving?
People get moving a little more quickly. Yeah.
All right, I'll buy that.
You see a lot more aggressive driving once, you know, we know that there's not going to be ice on the highways.
I saw somebody yesterday, like, cut into a corner where someone was driving on a straight lane, and then they got, like, mad that they weren't able to turn and they had a stop sign. And then they waited for someone to go up the hill, and then I watched somebody else just, like, tailgate them the whole way up, and I'm like, oh, man, just let it go. Let it go. I mean, if you're – I don't know. I just – everyone kind of drives around here like the road is theirs and nobody else. I just don't think people – it's not – I just don't think people pay attention to other people. Like, my fear on the road isn't really me. It's everyone else around me. I don't know. You know that feeling? You're like, oh, here's going to be some other idiot that's going to – come up and tailgate me, and then you'd be like, okay, well, just go around. Go into the passing lane where someone shouldn't be driving in, right? I don't know. All right, it's official. I just popped out another gray hair from this conversation. Thank you. It's always good to be here. Mike Florio is going to join us coming up here at 1 o'clock, so we're looking forward to talking to him. Mary Kay Cabot said something really interesting, I thought, at 11 o'clock, where she kind of laid it down where she said, look, it's not Jimmy Haslam on some of these decisions. Everything is on Andrew Berry. And I don't know. Here's what she said.
The thing that I always try to clear up is the fact that people like to keep perpetuating the narrative that Jimmy Haslam is calling the shots on this football team. And that's just not true. It's just not true. He's involved with things, but he's not calling the shots. This was an Andrew Berry-driven decision, just like Deshaun Watson was an Andrew Berry-driven decision. Jimmy had to come through with the money on that and the full guarantee on that, but he didn't come up with the idea of acquiring Deshaun Watson. He didn't come up with the idea of trading up to get Shador. This is Andrew's draft. He's got final say, and Jimmy lets them do their jobs.
I think parts of that I can buy. Maybe Jimmy lets them do their jobs. I see that. I just, man, the whole way, and I'm not digging this up today. I'm just saying for one moment, and I'll let it go. But the way the whole Baker Mayfield thing went down, I just find it really hard to believe that that didn't motivate Mr. Haslam and the ownership group to want to make sure that they felt like they went out and got a franchise quarterback. And, you know, if it didn't come with all the outside stuff that went along with Deshaun Watson, it would have made sense.
Well, it would have made sense if he came in and played well. I mean, seriously, even with all the stuff, if he had come in and played well like he did in Houston, you got a different story. You have a different quarterback. But with all of the baggage, the suspension, then injuries and everything else, what you ended up with was a guy who didn't play a very good quarterback. So he wasn't very good. And that, to me, is the bottom line on the whole thing. The guy didn't play very well when he was at quarterback. And we'll see if he ever will again. If he does, I don't think it'll be here. And I think the Browns have made sure of that. You know, you brought in four quarterbacks and you picked up a number one for next year.
Not to mention he's coming off of an Achilles injury, which is a 12 to 18 month injury.
Absolutely. And sometimes, Dan, career altering.
Right. I mean, you know, not to do your favorite thing, but gosh, poor Dame Lillard's got an uphill battle ahead of him after an Achilles tear as well.
He's not going to play next year, right?
What it's done to so many people. It's why this whole notion that Watson is going to see the field this year, I highly, highly doubt it. And I think the Browns draft tells you the same thing.
I agree. I agree with that completely. I'd be surprised if he plays this year. And Mary Kay's thought about Andrew Berry's draft and everything else, okay. I don't think anybody truly knows what's going on there. And I think anybody who can flat out say with 100% certainty that this is what the deal is, okay, well, either you've seen it yourself, or you're believing what somebody's telling you. And if you have good sources, why wouldn't you believe it? So, we'll see. I would think that an owner is involved in a decision like Deshaun Watson, and I don't necessarily believe. And I've heard people who have pretty good sources tell me that Jimmy Haslam had nothing to do with Shador Sanders. And I also have heard people who have pretty good sources tell me Jimmy picked Shador Sanders. So what do you want to believe?
I just think if you're Jimmy Haslam, you just don't want to walk down that road again of the drama. Like, there's no way an owner wants to step out there and say, we took a swing and a miss. And, you know, he's the one that ultimately had to come out there and say that with the Deshaun Watson factor.
Shador Sanders, if he doesn't pan out, Andy, that's not a swing and a miss. It's a fifth-round pick. I mean, perception of what he was maybe going to be has been replaced by the reality that he was a fifth-round pick. So if he comes in and doesn't do the job and doesn't look very good or is a pain in the tush, he'll be gone. And my hope is that he comes in, has a great attitude, and works his butt off and is good, and ends up being, I hope the guy ends up as the starter. You know why? I hope Dylan Gabriel ends up as the starter. I hope Kenny Pickett ends up as the starter. I hope one of these guys flat out wins the job. That's my hope. One of those three guys flat out wins the job. That'd be great. Because then you have somebody who might be your quarterback for a while.
All right, is this a fair statement? Because I got this from a friend of mine who's a former pro athlete, and he's been saying this to me for two years.
Ding!
That's fine. You can ding all you want. This is about Sanders. He deserves a chance to prove himself. Can we stop talking about his draft position?
Exactly right.
But is he not labeled by that draft position?
No, not once you get here.
Well, every time that we say that Dylan Gabriel is somebody that they wanted, and I'm trying to remember the way it was framed, that Dylan Gabriel is clearly more of what they wanted than Shedeur Sanders.
Well, they certainly preferred him to Shedeur Sanders.
And the only way you can say that is based on draft position.
Well, they took him. Right. Yeah, well, of course.
But on one hand, we're saying let's not talk about his draft position. On another hand,
we're not talking about his draft position. You just said which one do they prefer. Well, it's clear Dylan Gabriel because they took him. They took him before they took Sanders.
But if you don't care about draft position, then it shouldn't be
at this point.
It's not that clear.
But that's not what you asked, Andy. You said which one do they prefer? Well, it's clearly Gabriel. They took him in the third round. Do the math.
Yeah, I don't know
third's
that it's
five.
But I don't know that I believe that. If I want to believe that we're not going to link him to his draft position, and maybe they just felt like they needed to take him a little bit later in the draft. So I don't know, for whatever reason, maybe just because he didn't interview well or something. Or because of what the league was thinking, then I can't think that way. I got to think that they should have an equal and fair shot to try to go out and win this job, and it doesn't matter.
Well, now they do.
Yeah.
But that's not what you said. You said which one did they prefer. I mean, clearly, they preferred Dylan Gabriel.
I just don't know. You keep saying clearly. I don't know that it's clearly.
How could it not be? They drafted him in the third round and didn't take Sanders until the fifth.
Because if you believe that you're not going to pinpoint him on his draft position, then it can't be clear. That if they're both going to have a chance to do this, then it doesn't matter if he was drafted in the fifth round. Are we arguing the same point?
No, that's not what you said. You said which one did they prefer. That has nothing to do with who's going to be the starting quarterback,
because
now they're both here and they can go and compete for the job.
That's not what I said. I said
clearly they preferred Gabriel.
I don't think it's that. Okay, you can keep saying it the way you want. I just don't think that's the way it is. I don't know that it's so clear. That's the whole thing. All right, let's come back. We'll ask Mike Florio what he thinks. Pro Football Talk, he'll join us at 1 o'clock. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.